Can you guys hear me? This is Martin Lopez. I'm
Yeah.
having, yeah, I'm
Yes.
having issues with my video too. I got a new laptop and my video doesn't want to kick in. Well, I'll
Why?
do this so far. I'll do it with the audio for now until I can figure out the video, okay?
Okay. Brittany was having trouble with her new computer too, so it's happening. I'm glad you all are getting new computers. So that's
Yes, that's the good news.
okay. Well, all right. It's 3:02, and I'd like to bring the ESAC Waste Diversion Collections and Education meeting to order on Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Roll call. Doug, Jenny,
Here.
Margo Garcia,
Here.
Fred Ariza,
Here.
and Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
and Chris Yarder present. Okay, so we'll skip item two for waste diversion. And wait, is Christina handling public outreach as well?
Yeah, Christina is handling public outreach. So when she comes on, she'll cover both.
Okay, what about who's going to do collections?
Jose Montillo.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, Jose, you're
How's it
up
going?
with, yeah, hi, new equipment and then the Rubicon software. So what's
Gotcha.
on the agenda?
Okay, let me see. I'm going to share my screen with you so that way you guys can see the spreadsheet that I received.
Okay.
I gotta wait on somebody to disable it.
You're good to go. Try again, Jose.
Share. You guys, let me know when you guys are able to see that.
We can see it. Just probably make it a little bigger for the members.
Okay.
Yes, please. Some of us have old eyes. Or the old people.
Right. Are you guys able to see that?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So I finally got a little bit of some news for you guys for the some of the side loaders that we ordered in the past. The first one that we're looking at here is for the FY23. So right now we have eight Freightliners, crane carriers. These is our side loaders. They should arrive shortly when the body can complete build or send red dye. So basically on these, we're just waiting on, we haven't had an exact date. The only response that I had is should arrive shortly. But after they arrive, we got to send them out to get the air condition installed. And then we have to have inspections from the state to come down here to make sure that these vehicles are CNGs. So they should be arriving here shortly. So what that means, we're waiting just like you guys. We're excited to wait for them, but it's just, it's taken a long time ever since COVID, and everything's just been delayed and delayed with these vehicles. We do have two roll-off that is coming sooner than anticipated. They're looking at December with these roll-offs. I think the last time we spoke, we were the manufacturer was having issues getting metal to build those roll-offs. So, it looks like they're moving forward, and hopefully, and they give us 3 months, so we should be getting these in December. We're keeping an eye on those. The food truck, this is going to be the food waste truck that we're going to be using. So finally, the PTO was finally resolved, and we were supposed to receive it yesterday. Haven't seen it in the yard yet, so we're still waiting on that. I was asking about it today, but they couldn't give me an answer for it. The second one, this is gonna be this one should go pretty quickly. The second food waste truck should go pretty quick. We were having those PTO issues with the first one, so they have all the parts, they have everything, and so they should be able to build it a lot quicker than than what they did with the first one. That truck, once they drop off that the food waste truck, we should be receiving, you know, they're going to pick up the other one and get started on that one. These are from FY24. So we should have three front loads that we have purchased. We're just waiting. Once complete, sent to the same thing as the side loaders. We're just waiting for them to get the chassis, the body manufacturer. You know, once you get those installed, you know, we should, once you get here, same thing, we have to, you know, install the AC units, go through the inspections, you know, state and all that. Also, there's no estimate date on these. So right now they're kind of looking at October, November, December. I couldn't get a direct, and this is coming from our fleet services, so I couldn't get a direct, you know, this is what we're looking at, December. And they're just kind of holding off on that.
What is red dot?
Red dot is going to be our AC units that are installed on the on our units, and then the PDI. I can't remember the definition, but I know it's department. It's with the state. They usually come down here and inspect the trucks just to make sure that they're CNG vehicles.
Okay. Jose, I have a question.
Sir? Yeah.
Regarding the side loaders, how long is all that stuff going to take before they're ready to get online?
Well, by the time we receive these right now, these are going to be crane carriers. And I got pictures, and I'll show you guys what they look like. So these vehicles, we don't have this type of vehicles on a side loader. So that's why it's taking a little bit longer with these. We did place the order, and this is fiscal year 23. It's just like I said, over the years, you know, with trying to purchase chassis, it has been in a delay, and that's what's taking us so long. Once we purchase a vehicle, and then now we got to find the manufacturer who's gonna, you know, the body manufacturer to get them installed. They are working on them. I was looking for pictures of, you know, where they were building them. You know, basically they're like scrap, and then once they start building. I thought I had those pictures so I can show you guys, but I couldn't find them. That's the only thing, that's why it's taking just so long. It's just been ever since COVID, you know, everybody's trying to get garbage trucks and chassis, you know, it's around the whole United States. Everybody's just struggling trying to get vehicles. The rear loaders we have also was. And this is the ones that we're looking at here. These are fiscal year 24. Those have been ordered. Latest rate received CNG system should arrive shortly. Same thing with these, should arrive shortly. Same thing, AC, you know, the state has to come out and inspect. Like I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't get you guys like an exact date. It's just, you know, it's just taking too long on them. With the new ways, a new way Diamondback, we did order two extra 8-yard rear loaders. These are smaller rear loaders that we use for areas where the side loader can't enter because of the size of the truck. So we're waiting on that, and then for the body, just waiting on but it's about in the ground. But we're just waiting on quotes so that way they can start building these. We do have the actual chassis, but we're waiting on quotes to have the chassis installed on them. For FY25 this year, we are going to order nine Peterbilts. We're just waiting for Carlos to go over the spec sheet so we can sign off on it. There we'll order an extra nine side loaders. And then we have three front loaders that will be ordered, and then also two roll-offs that'll be ordered. We're just waiting. Like Carlos was out on vacation last week, so once I meet up with him, we're gonna go over it, and so he can sign off on it. Let me see. Let me get some of those. One good thing. I'm not sure. I think I mentioned it the last. The can you guys see the pictures?
No.
No. Not yet.
We just see the list of.
Oh, the list? Okay, let me see. Hold on.
You may need to cancel sharing this screen and select the different screen.
And then the camera. Okay.
There's Christina.
Yep.
Yeah. She's.
Ooh.
Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
nice.
Okay, so we just received the I know that when we spoke last month, we were waiting for the EV side loader. So it arrived, it's here, it's brand new. They parked it. We're just waiting to see where we're gonna be charging. I think the last time when we spoke, I let you guys know that we were setting up a charging station. That's almost done. But I took a couple pictures so you guys can take a look at it. Let me
What's
see.
the unit number on it? Is it 7048?
7098.
98.
Yeah, 7098. It's not much different than the CNG that we have now, except for this part that you see here. This is a whole battery of I
Wow.
got a better
Wow.
picture. Yeah. This is a whole battery here, arm, everything else. When I was talking about earlier, when I was saying with the crane carrier as battle motors, this is a type of body that we have here. It sits lower than the Peterbilt that we normally get. As you can see, this one sits a little bit lower. This is our first time ever, having these units. So we're
Wow.
going to give that a shot. Let's see how, what the capabilities of those vehicles are. This is a picture from the passenger side. On this side is the passenger side. There is a lot of room. You don't have the engine compartment that was up here before. So hopefully it keeps a lot cooler than. Well, it's not even. Well, the other ones had the engine. This one doesn't. So it's just blank because of the batteries. On this side, we got the driver's side.
So,
Go ahead.
on these trucks, so is the electric truck lighter or heavier than an empty traditional truck?
You know what? We haven't weighed it, but I
Oh,
think it's
okay.
going to be a lot heavier. We
Is
haven't
it?
taken it to the lab. Yeah. Just because of the battery pack that's in the back, that adds a lot of weight. So,
That's what I was curious about, if that was heavier than an engine.
yeah, you can tell right away just by looking at the tires and looking at it's going to be a lot heavier, especially because of that battery
So,
pack that they have.
is it going to go on a recycle route then?
Those are our plans to try it out with the recycling because we've never driven it.
Yeah.
We've just seen videos, so we don't know what the capabilities are. We don't know how many containers, how many households
Right.
can, well, is it going to last all day? Is it going to be able to, drive it all day? So all this is all new to us. Hopefully, down the road, once we get more information, I'll pass that on to you guys.
Exciting.
So one of the things will be the tires. I know in the past we've had issues with tires. So if it's heavier, it'll be interesting if you can keep track of what the tire wear is and how often they have to change them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like I said, this whole thing is just new. So we're gonna have to keep an eye on that and you're right, and keep track of the tires and even the maintenance part of it. I don't know how much maintenance they're gonna do, being that it's electric. I know when it comes down to the moving parts, that's something that we take care of on the weekend, greasing the truck. As you can see here in the front side, I'm not sure if you can see my cursor down here. This is where the truck will be hooked up to the charging station.
Where you plug it in, huh?
Yes.
Big windows. It looks like much bigger than the others, but
It
maybe.
is. We do have a couple of what is it, a couple of rear loaders, and these trucks haven't given us any issues, but they're CNG. Instead of having, the side loader, it's a rear loader that we use for the brush and bulky. But it's not, it's with the regular CNG. We haven't had that many issues. The guys like them because you can get on and off the truck easier. It's just one step instead of climbing. This
Yeah.
one is, it's just one step and you're inside the truck.
Is it very quiet?
I haven't even heard it, to be honest with you.
Just
Yeah,
gonna
honestly,
have to.
the mechanics or the fleet services. They brought it in, they parked it because nobody hasn't got any training on this yet. So, I know they're going to be coming down here pretty soon so they can start training us on this vehicle.
How long
You
does it
can't
take to
believe
charge
you
that?
didn't just turn it on to hear it.
They said it was very loud because of the fans when on the let me see if the next picture. On the where the batteries, because all these is just a big battery pack. Yeah. Right. And they were saying that there's fans in there that it makes a lot of noise with the fans. So I haven't heard it yet, to be honest with you. So, you know, everything else stays the same. The whole body, you know, compared to the CNG and what we have, you know, and the EV, the body's still the same moving parts with the arm, you know, the hopper, everything is just stays the same.
How long does it take to charge that?
That's a good question. I know that they were saying it should take this battery pack, because we were talking about it today. So this one, they were saying that it should take up to 5 hours to get that charge.
Is that from, do you have to drain it, or do you can just recharge it at any time?
You can recharge it any time. Okay. Yeah. It's the same like the EV vehicles that, you know, that we're driving, the pickup trucks or any of the ones that you see, you can charge it at any time. But those are things that we're going to start looking at too, you know, because I know that usually like your cell phone, if you have your cell phone, they recommend draining it and then charging it. So I'm not sure if it's the same thing we're going to have to do with this unit.
And how long does it go for on a charge?
They were saying that they can, it should take up to 5 hours to charge.
No, I mean to run it. How long? I'll have those
questions once we get to drive it. Yeah. When this vehicle was purchased, it was, this is when Pat was here, they purchased it, but honestly, we haven't driven it. We haven't taken it out on the routes or anything. So that's a lot of information that, you know, we're going to have to find out here.
So do you think it'll the more you put in there, the more it's going to drain the battery?
I believe so. Cause you know, the more weight that you add on here, it's going to take more energy. That's just me, you know, thinking about that. I think it's going to take more energy to, you know, to haul the, all the refuse.
Okay.
So we're I think Christina ordered some of the logos that we're going to be placing on the, you know, on the back, on the side. I think we talked about that about the last time about, you know, the logos that we're going to be setting up on here. Mm-hmm. On this truck that I took a picture, this is a food waste truck. Right now, we have the chassis. So once we receive the new food waste truck, this is going to be going back with them, so that way they can install that the body on it on the backside. But the truck is here; it's just now is getting the body installed. I wish I could have they could have delivered that other truck, so that way I can show you the before and after. This is what it looked like, but you know, this is what it looks like now. So.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. So this is our CNG. I took a picture of one of the rear loaders. I think that our last meeting we talked about the rear loaders that they had just assigned them to us. So I took a picture of it so that way you guys can see. Here it's, I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen this, but this is our CNG truck. And basically it's almost like the EV. You know, when the guys come in at the end of the day, they park, you know, they hook up the CNG and they leave it overnight. Sometimes around 5:30, 6 o'clock, you'll hear the pumps running, and then that's when they get the slow fill overnight. So that way, when the drivers show up in the morning, they're filled and they're ready to go.
Well, how many of those do you have for hooking up the trucks?
This model, we have a total.
CNG.
Yeah. Oh. CNG, we only have three, I think there's two diesel, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's two diesel trucks that we have, and all of them are CNG. We have a total of 23 rear loaders that are CNG.
Okay. So that's 23 altogether?
Yes. And we combine them, so some of the rear loaders we're using for the brush and bulky, and then The other, we split them in half, and we're using them for the homeless camps or the illegal dumps, or, you know, so we split up the truck evenly with both of the divisions, which is the homeless camps or the brush and bulky. Uh, I think that's it for the pictures. Let me see what else that I have for you guys. Let me think we have, hold on. I'll jump. Do you guys have any questions on the, with the, our vehicles, the status, the updates, when we receiving them?
No,
it
looks
pretty
good.
Okay. Let me jump in. Let's see if it's this one here.
Software.
Okay. Sure. Hey, are you guys able to see that?
No.
Make it a little bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. How about now?
That's better.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you guys a quick tour. So here with our Rubicon, as you all know, we just installed this about 3 months ago. The installation went, you know, pretty smooth. I think the hardest task was getting the data from our system that we have now and entering into Rubicon. It does have a lot of features. I mean, there's so many features on here that it's now it's like, you know, trying to learn everything because it's a lot on it. It's almost, it's when you receive a new cell phone, you know, trying to figure out how do I do this? How do I do that on the cell phone? So one of the things that we're looking at here is how many routes that we have out there that are running. How many scheduled routes in progress, how many routes, stops. These are scheduled 49,649. That's how many stops are with the commercial, residential, and brush and bulky stops that we have.
Jose, who monitors all this stuff? Is this something that you guys monitor all the time, or is that just?
Yes, it's going to be the supervisor. So
okay.
The supervisors. You know, we have right now. We have the five supervisors that are residential supervisors. We have two commercial supervisors, and we have two brush and bulky supervisors. So when you know if they're looking for their own vehicles, we have a choice here of you know roll off, residential, front load, and then all the delivery trucks, and then we have all. So you're able right here what we're looking at. We're able to see everything that they're doing out there.
Hey, Jose.
Yes, sir.
Where does it get the data from? Like the number of trips to the landfill and the tons? Is somebody manually entering the scale tickets or does it pick it up from your scale system?
Yeah, we'll go with this guy here. This guy, it's a front load route. It's a commercial route. This is showing the status of the route. So when he goes down to the landfill, he's entering the information that's at the landfill.
So the scale house attendant at the landfill enters a ticket weight and then
One it's recording at the landfill and then the driver is entering the information. If you can see 54380.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Who enters that? Does the system just pick it up automatically or is it manually keyed?
No, actually it's manually. This driver here, he entered it manually. So they have a tablet and that's what they're going off of. You know, they're on the tablet gotcha. And they enter all the information. On that tablet, they're able to enter, you know, when they go to the landfill, they're able to see the routes, they're able to see what's done when they're out there, you know, what's been completed. If you have another driver can go out there and assist him instead of passing like, you know, paperwork.
Yeah.
Before we used to pass around paperwork, now another driver is able to help him out on the route and see what's lacking or what needs to be serviced. They're able to help and you know, help each other out there.
And then I would guess the route supervisor just goes through and checks it to make sure that the numbers look correct and nobody's kind of fat fingered a number or something.
Yeah. Because what happens every Monday, we have a report that comes in from the landfill. So we'll compare. We're still getting that report. Perfect. From the landfill. So we'll compare, you know, what they're actually doing out there, make sure that they're not thumbing it, like you said.
Hey, is the weight that you have there, is that the total weight of the truck and the stuff inside, or is that just
Yes, that's total weight of the truck and the
waste
for refuse. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the good features that we like using, like this guy, let me see tickets. So when he's out there, you know, he has the tablet. When he's out there, he's able to report any issues that, you know, that he comes across. So here, if you read, you know, couldn't enter, reach address. Keypad is out of order, and he can take pictures. So on this one, he couldn't enter the gate. So if a customer calls us, hey, you didn't service my container. Well, we couldn't enter. The gate was locked. You know, I'm sorry. And then, you know, we'll go back. Not that we've been doing it. You know, we've been taking pictures. So now I think we're at a point where if, you know, because you got those customers that are on a weekly basis, you didn't service my container. You didn't service my container. But now I have a picture and I can show them, look, this is why we're not servicing it, because you have, you know, the gate is closed. I'm able to charge them for us to go back and service that container.
Also, one thing, Jose, is showing you the issues. We're starting to keep track of the people that are putting the wrong stuff in their recycle bins, where the drivers are noticing it so that they can get a letter telling them, you know, this is your first warning. And following up on that.
Well, that's been a long time coming, huh, Christine.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Jeez.
Let me see if I have one that
it'd be in the issues, Montijo.
Yeah, let me see. See if there's any of them with the these ones on is.
It's either prohibited item.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, there's one. Like on this one, you know. You see address, damaged containers. So what happens now, we have, you know, on stuff like this, we have our customer service. They'll go through all the issues. So what the driver does, he reports this. He takes a picture of it. Dispatch will go in and take a look at it. And then she'll create a work order so she can get that fixed. So they'll send somebody out there to get that container fixed. Let me see if there's another one.
It'd be a prohibited item.
Yeah, here is a prohibited item.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Looks like my neighborhood.
Hopefully we're not receiving a lot of these pictures from your neighborhood.
Is that your house, Chris?
No. No, I never do anything wrong.
So these guys are getting the hang of it, of reporting a lot of the stuff. Like this one was overflowing, you know. So there are times where we'll, you know, like something like this, you know, where the driver, when he tries to service it, things are just going to go all over the place. So he'll take a picture of it. We'll do everything that we can to try to get it serviced. And once again, when the customer service sees this, she'll call, and I can show you guys an email here in a bit. So she'll call the customer and let them know, look, we didn't service your container. You know, we're in the area. Can you guys clean up around it? We'll service it. And if you have any accumulation, you know, we'll take care of it. Once, you know, this is what we've been doing now, but not, you know, in the future, we want to hold them accountable. So if this keeps happening, either we give them a bigger container or more service, or we start billing them for us to go out there.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes.
Do you notice people that have like two recycle bins and two trash bins out in front of their house?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we do have a lot of the drivers that are driving out there. You know, they're very familiar with the, you know, their routes. So whenever they see a second container, they'll report it. They'll get a hold of the dispatch. Hey, look, there's two containers. Are they paying for the second one?
Perfect.
If they aren't paying, you know, we'll create a work order and get that picked up. So, but the drivers are out there and they do report those.
Okay. I can give an address.
You can sneak it out to Brittany.
Okay.
Yeah, so the guys are getting very familiar of taking these pictures. They are reporting. You know, they're and they're using it well. Like I said, like on these, you know, the supervisor's advice too. The supervisor will go out there and make contact with the customer, letting them know that, you know, they got prohibited stuff in there.
Well, you know, there's also times when, like, in my case, I didn't bring out my bin fast enough, so I just drag it across the street to my neighbors, and then, you know, they have bins.
Yeah, they'll, you know, there are, like I said, these drivers are very familiar with the area. So okay, what they'll do when they know already, like, okay, this guy forgot it again, they'll snap a picture of the front of the yard that the can wasn't out. So that way, if they call, it wasn't out. You know, they got a picture. Look, we went by there at this time and the can wasn't out.
Okay.
But they are very familiar. And they know whenever you, you know, if you forget to take the can out, they already know that it's yours, that you brought it out on the other side of the street.
Okay.
But they'll take care of it, though.
Yeah. It's just been known to happen.
Yeah. So let me go to the other one. So one of the things that I wanted to show you guys also, Rubicon. Rubicon is, it integrates with Samsara. So, hold on, you know what? You probably can't see this. Let me share it again. Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
Okay, so all these greens that you see here, these are all of our vehicles that are out there. All the vehicles that are out there. Right now, it's late in the evening, so a lot of these trucks, you'll see that they're at the landfill. You know, these are our trucks that are at the landfill. Or you can see this one here where, you know, these trucks are probably going to the landfill, and you got a couple of trucks that are helping out on in this area.
Cool. Yeah, it's a lot of trucks for a small area.
Yeah, when you look at it, like around 1 o'clock, because all of our trucks are out there, and you can see them, they're all over the city.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
One of the features, you know, like I said, this thing has a lot of features in here. It's trying to learn everything is pretty hard. But one of the things that we've been using a lot is going to be some of the videos that we have taken out there.
Oh.
Yeah. This video here, just so you guys, this is a brush and bulky. And the tractor has a camera. So that way, at least you guys, I wanted to show this to you guys so you guys can see what it looks like from inside the skids here. This is what it looks like when, I don't know if I can make this bigger.
Okay.
Well, this is live action news, huh?
This is cool.
Yeah, I think on this one, they downloaded the video because there was a water meter that was in the grass. And sometimes, you know, a lot of the residents, what they do, they place their brush and bulky on top of water meters, gas meters, and we strike them, you know, we hit them. So this is going to be a good way of saying, look, you place, you know, your brush and bulky on top of a water meter. So we, you know, make the resident responsible to fix their water meter.
I just had mine fixed.
Oh, did you? Was it from us?
No, it was internally. We just had, last week we had three water line breaks.
Okay. Let me see if there's something else here.
Well, they got the gas out there in the alleyways too.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, yeah, I think that's scary. Better turn it off.
Yeah, this is one of our Russian bulky guys that are out there working. Yeah, and the view that you're seeing here, like I said, that's inside the skid. That's what it looks like.
They were just in my neighborhood.
Was it? Okay. Did they do a good job?
They always do a good job.
Yeah. But we have renters that'll put stuff out after they've left. Some people were concerned because they were late.
Let me see.
I told them good excuses for why you guys were late.
Okay.
They always ask me, hey, what's going on?
So we do get a lot of claims, you know, we get a lot of claims where people are saying, hey, you know, your truck broke my windshield. Hey, this is going down Park Avenue. You know, you struck my wall. So now that we have that front video, we're able to see, did we cause the damage? Did we do it? Was it broken before service? So with the video, it's been helping us because now we can send it back to the customer and know, look, it's not our fault. This thing was broken before our vehicle got there. Now, there are times, you know, when people put in, when residents put in claims, there are times where, you know, now we're able to see whether it's a driver or if it's, you know, if it's something that the resident did before we got there.
Was that common though?
It's a lot more on the freeway. You know, on the freeway, it does happen a lot because a lot of people, you know, when we're leaving the landfill, it picks up a lot of dirt, like a lot of vehicles pick up dirt or they pick up rocks. So whenever you're on the freeway, sometimes they'll claim that a box flew out of the top of the truck, even though it's empty, it flew out of the truck and it struck my vehicle. So we're able to put videos to see if that actually happened.
Ate my homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see if there's something. Show you one of the vehicles here. Yeah, on this one, they pulled the video. They were trying to see how this guy was servicing the, it's a cul-de-sac. So what he's doing, he's servicing the container and then he's backing out of there. I think the supervisor downloaded this and they were showing it to, for us trying to get out of that alley, because sometimes some of these alleyways and some of these cul-de-sacs are pretty tight where our truck will not turn around or they have a hard time turning around. So, you know, we like pulling videos so we can show the public, look, this is the stuff that we're going through. You know, this is why we're damaging your, you know, it can be the asphalt, the road, because of the backing up, you know. So there's a lot of things that we can show this video from. I'm not sure why they downloaded this video. They might have shown it, or, you know, it might have been one of those videos where, well, they didn't service my container. Well, I got the truck that just went in, then the service, and we'll send you the video.
Hey, you guys need to get this stuff on the news.
Right?
let people know, you know, that you do have these cameras and not to mess with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. Like I said, we have these and it's been, you know, using them and having them there just to show the public, you know, it's been working. We still got a long ways. I mean, a lot of these drivers are just getting used to the tablet. It's only been 3 months. Just getting used to the tablet, you know, with the commercial and the brush and bulky, you know, getting used to the tablet, reporting it. It's like I said, when you receive a new phone, you see it with all these gadgets and you're like, okay, what is this for? What am I doing here? You know, so it's just teaching them. Yeah. It's going to take a while, but once we set it up and up and running, it's going to be good for us because now we get to show the public, risk management when it comes to injuries or accidents, you know, this is going to help us out a lot.
I think it's terrific what you're doing. Yes. And it's, I can remember when we first started putting the trackers on the trucks and the drivers were all scared of them.
Yeah. But
I think it should, they've learned that they can be very helpful to them and people understanding what they're doing. And it is hard to be on a tablet and watching them pick it up or, you know, seeing what's in the can and taking a picture of it. I think it's terrific what they're doing.
Is this information accessible to the public or is that just you guys looking through it?
Right now, it's not. We're looking at in the future. We want to, Rubicon, we want to be able to say, you know, you're brushing bulky. You want to know where the truck is at and if, you know, when they're going to, when it's going to be out in your area or if it's working in your area. I know that other cities up in Phoenix and Glendale, they have it to where the public can log on to it and you're able to see where all the trucks are working at, you know, before they get to your house. So that's in the future. You know, that's what we're looking at.
Okay.
So that there's a lot of information, you know, that route work can do. It's just, you know, how do we do this, you know, and trying to figure that part out. But so far it's been working great for us. You know, we're able to track our trucks out there. You know, we're able to see if a driver forgot to pick up a certain section. You were able to see if he did that. So it's been helping us out.
Great.
Wow.
I mean, I can go on and on and show you guys, you know, but I'm going to take all your guys' time.
Yeah. With 50s, whatever it is, 65, 60 trucks out there and on video. Wow. What a perfect show to put on.
Yeah.
Thank you. This was fun.
Famous videos from our trucks or the oops videos, the best oops that we've had. And
we
had a lot of fun.
We got to bring you guys out here so you guys can do a ride along with the drivers.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. Yes.
Maybe when it's cooler.
Yeah.
Well, I hope those new trucks have good air conditioners.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's the first thing we got to make sure. Yeah.
And good stereos.
No. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Can't forget about that. The Bluetooth. Okay.
Thank you so much. This was fun, Jose.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, this is great. All right. I guess we'll go to the Murph Report. Christina? Are you there?
All right. Yes, I am.
I know you are.
Find the report. So,
any pictures with this? Any pictures with this?
No,
we want garbage.
We're spoiled now.
I know.
Where's the video?
I've been pulling a report of all the contamination, but for the week, you know, and if we see residents that have more. We can, you know, get them second letter, and Ernesto's actually going out and following up with some of them because,
wow,
if they don't have something obvious, then the driver's not going to note it. But, you know, but we have the addresses now, so we can go out and follow up and just do checks to see, you know, if there's any really bad offenders, then we can just pull the bin, not perfect, deal with it anymore. So
awesome.
Excited about that because our contamination is up this month.
Yes.
Mm. So during the audit, wow, it was higher. So for the next 3 months, we'll be paying an extra $7 a ton for any of the contamination. And actually, it's $7 a ton for every ton that we take. So it's very pricey. It looks like the tons this month, a lot of them were up. So that's a good thing. The OCC was one that was down. But the prices were basically the same, although I have to tell you, I was really surprised by the number 5 amount being $440. That's really high.
It almost looks like since all 4 plastics were $440, that they just took the whole lot. Because the number 2s was down from the
560s
and both number 2s, pigmented and natural, were down from 560, 520. And since they were all the same, I suspect somebody just bought everything and then, I don't know, sorted it out later.
That's a good question.
Okay.
Yeah, it's unusual for it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
The same. So, you know, we're kind of holding steady. It's, you know, not big differences in anything.
Well, you know, you did a lot of education for people to, you know, make sure which plastics to put in the blue bin and which plastics go into the orange bag. I would think that would help a little bit, don't you think?
You know, I hope so. I mean, we're still seeing a lot of black trash bags with plastics in the orange bins. So that's going to take a little bit of time to get people. And we're, you know, putting some new signs on there too. But yeah, you can see the ACR, which is what calculates the revenue and stuff, was lower a little bit, not too much. But it's that it's the residue charges.
Residue.
Christina, when we do these quarterly audits, do we get a report of what makes up that trash?
Well, what they do is they do a check on the residue, but they only pull a small portion of it. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of show us, you know, tell us what was in it and some pictures, but it's definitely not all of the tonnage.
Sure. Do we know
a grab sample?
Do we know from that sample what was sort of making up the trash for this quarter? Like, was there more landscaping debris because of those monsoon storms, or was it just sort of?
Yeah, but sometimes they'll just point out, you know, it was a bag of concrete. It was, you know, this air conditioner. It was, we'll get so
kind
started.
Of just more of the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there was a microwave and all the stuff we get. It's crazy.
Still working?
Pardon? Is the microwave working? I hope not. And probably not after it's gone through the whole system.
What are you supposed to do with an old microwave?
I have a question, Christina. Is there more problems in the rest of the year, or is this consistent all year long, or is it just what I'm trying to get is when people move back to Tucson from, you know, hiding from the summer heat, do the problems increase, or are they about the same?
I think they're about the same. I don't really notice any big differences.
So we're just consistently.
I can answer that. It seemed like there was a pattern that during the summertime the residue would go up, and in the wintertime, when the snowbirds would come back, it would appear that they were better recyclers to me.
Oh. When I was there. Could be.
Well, and that could have to do with, you know, socioeconomics. Ernesto will tell you that the areas that we go to on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which tend to be the east side, are better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and the areas Wednesday and Friday being the worst. So, yeah, there's, you know, but again, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that where we have bad recycling is where we see a lot of rental property.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, because right by the U of A is really bad.
Yeah, Trevor.
But it's also young people.
Those are your kids, Trevor.
They are. I also live a block from the university, and I have been subject to move-in and everything else over the last month. It's
also young people who really don't know, you know. I'm sorry, we're not educating our young people very well, and so all of a sudden they have to do something with the trash and they don't know what to do. And I think it really is a lot of blame.
Well, they're not local kids, you know, because Christina, you do stuff with the local kids.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
We do in the schools.
Right.
Also, the rules are different everywhere, you know. So we have a lot of people coming in from out of state, out of Tucson, and the rules for what you recycle and don't, and they're just not focusing on it. They're focusing on, you know, their hormones.
Well, they're like when we were renting our Airbnb, we had people just throwing stuff in the bin, assuming that it was recyclable because it's recyclable for where they live.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right.
Well, you that's just said problem.
Sure.
It's a big problem. I remember going to one Airbnb in El Cerrito, California, and the whole side of the refrigerator was an explanation of the recycling for that community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've done that too.
And, you know, it was helpful. I mean, otherwise, you know, we consider ourselves good recyclers in Tucson, but we don't know what their rules are.
Right. And they change from one community to the next.
They do. Definitely. But okay. Nonetheless, it is sad to see the residue so high and the economic impact of it is terrible. Now, that's a story that should have gone out in the news. Yeah. I was surprised that all of a sudden you changed your mind about the pizza box tops. How come you didn't tell us you were going to do that?
So we sat in a webinar about a month ago that was hosted by the Paper Food Packaging Institute. And they did numerous testing on the quality of the pulp. And they basically determined that a little bit of grease, a little bit of cheese doesn't really affect the quality of the pulp. So we wanted to verify that with Republic, and we did. And they, as long as the pizza's not in it, it's fine.
I've always believed that. That's right, Christine. I've always believed that. I fought that. A little bit of grease isn't going to, you know, when you got a 5,000-gallon pulper, a pizza box isn't going to do any difference. You know, you're not going to notice anything.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was right. Just like, you know, they did all these tests and all with various
proven it. Yes.
Levels of contamination or whatever. And they said it makes no difference.
So do you have a site for that information or that study?
I can send it to you.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I'd like to look at it.
Yeah, we sat in this webinar and it was like, we were like, wow, that would be, and it's so funny because, you know, Alyssa posted it on Facebook and it just blew up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everybody's excited, really. Well,
they're so happy they don't have to tear their pizza boxes off in half anymore. And
yeah.
Half in the garbage and half in the recycling. Yeah. But there are things. I mean, I've seen the large paper pulpers in Virginia back in the day when people were worried about paper clips and things. And all that metal did sink down to the bottom and make quite a layer that periodically they had to clear off. But I guess the materials that they use to break up the pulps and the pulp out of the boxes probably dissolves the fat as well, because that's really what it is. It's breaking apart the fats that are holding the fibers together, so the paper fibers.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting. The great pizza box study. It's perfect. I'm glad you guys got right on it.
Oh yeah, we were all pretty like, oh wow, that's a, you know, that'd be a big change. I mean, and yeah, people really appreciated it. So
is that the ONP, another paper that went up from 469 to 577?
I thought that was peculiar too, that there was more newspaper than cardboard in the mix on this audit.
Mm-hmm.
And that the aluminum and tin were exactly the same weight.
Yeah.
Do we still have observers at the audits?
Oh, yeah. Ernesto's always there. Steve and Alyssa, I usually go as well. So, yeah, we have people kind of keeping an eye. The only thing, and maybe, Doug, I should talk to you offline, we always see discrepancies between the amount of weight that gets dropped off for processing and how much actually gets bailed and not accounted for.
The shrink.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a rule of thumb, and I was pulling this out of the gray area in a contract in Albuquerque, I think, they looked at 2% shrink. Either way was acceptable, which I thought was quite a bit. I mean, I think that's, you're almost 100 tons, so that would be what, 2 tons?
Wow.
I don't do math in public, but I'm, you know, and if you're weighing everything like they're doing there on a bale scale down to the pound, I would think 1,000 pounds would be, you know, a kind of variance that would be acceptable, and anything over that would quite be questionable. But
we see like 3 to 4 tons difference.
Oh, wow.
Wow. 3 to 4 tons difference. Okay.
So we don't know if it has to do with the scales that they're, you know, different.
Yeah.
They're just out of sync. What
was the date on this audit?
This was in July. Let me see.
You still doing them on Wednesdays?
It was July 17th.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious.
Yeah, we do them on Wednesdays.
Well, thank you for all that information. We need to go to item 3 for public outreach and so, ribbon cuttings. And
so things have been going pretty quiet for over the summer, although there's been, you know, a few back to school things that we've participated in. We're in the process right now of putting together all of our outreach for the next year. So we will send out a bill insert regarding the zero waste collection event goes out in October for November, for the November event. That's, you know, going to be pretty much the same. It'll be at the church parking lot. We're adding one vendor, and that would be Treasures for Teachers. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, good.
Yeah. And
what day is this again?
It'll be November 2nd.
And where?
At the church, Catalina United Methodist Church. And then that'll be in October bill. November bill will be the HHW schedule for 2025. And we are making some changes to that. The summer was just really, really hard on our staff. And so they asked to not have those events during June, July, and August. And so we are moving ahead with that, but we will be a couple of months doing 2 collections so that we offer 2 in each area. So you'll see that. And then in December, we send out the bill insert that has tree cycle and the holiday information for 2025. Just so you know, the holidays this year, they're only going to observe 3. New Year's, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Next year?
So that's a very big change.
That's next year?
Yes.
What was it before?
Well, every holiday we pretty much observed, and trash and recycling would be delayed by a day. This year there's only going to be 3 holidays that affect your collection.
Oh. So like nothing for Labor. So Labor Day they'll be working?
Yeah.
Okay.
Christmas and what else?
The major ones, New Year's, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
So you're not going to observe Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July?
The drivers vote. They wanted that. They did not. Because what it means for them, they get a day off when maybe it's not that big a deal for them because they don't do something with family. and then they have to work on Saturday.
Yeah, I remember when you first you brought that up.
Yeah, that's why, like, when especially when a holiday is in the middle of the week, they just would rather work it and then not have to give up part of their weekend.
So is the city council going to have to vote on that, or
no? No. The city is still going to be observing those holidays. Our offices will still be closed. We will, you know, the people who work in the office won't be here, but the drivers have chosen to work.
Does that include brush and bulky?
Yes.
It seemed like every time brush and bulky was going to come to my neighborhood, it was the same week as a holiday.
They do rotate them. But, you know, the big holidays that people get upset about are Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Nobody wants brush and bulky during those holidays because that's when they have people coming over.
Christina, did you say when the EV ribbon cutting was going to be?
No.
Okay.
Because it is here, but it's not street ready.
Okay.
And so that's really when we want to have it, because I'd hate to put it out there and tell everybody how exciting this is and then have it sit in the back for a few months.
Gotcha.
That's going to be TBA.
Yeah. Okay.
And my understanding is that they're going to break ground on the Bifusion building later this month, but I haven't heard anything about, you know, if they're going to do any kind of event. And then the January bill insert will be the recycling calendar. And we're also working on preparing all the brush and bulky information for next year that'll go out after the election but before Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry, I was distracted by a phone call. Did you mention the household hazardous waste? Is that what I missed?
It's going to be in the October bill, no, November bill. And we are going to be canceling collections during the June, July, and August, but they will be made up.
And it was just the problem with the heat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can see that standing outside. That's tough.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, thank you.
Brittany will want me to mention we're going to be participating in two Halloween events.
Oh, yeah.
The Trunk or Treat at Quincy Douglas and the Boo Bash. Those will be mid-October. And of course, we'll be doing...
Sorry, the Boo Bash is October 19th at Lincoln Park. And the Quincy Douglas Trunk or Treat is Friday, October 11th.
And of course, we have our Halloween Murph and landfill tour.
Right.
Coming up. So
October 31st?
Yes.
I went on a Halloween. That was fun.
I'm working to fill the bus.
Pardon?
I'm working to fill the bus with people.
Oh, good. Well, I had people at the town hall say they wanted to go. So by, you know, keeping a list of people that that have expressed interest, so I can reach out to them when we open up the sign up.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work. Let's move to item 5, code enforcement. You're still here, Lori, right?
I'm here, but I'm going to let Martine take the helm here for a minute. I'm here for any other questions.
Oh, okay. Martine.
For starters, I just want to, I wasn't sure if I introduced myself last month. I was just monitoring. So my name is Martine Lopez, obviously. I've been with the city for about 28 years. I'm the new intern supervisor. I'm giving Lori a hand on doing some teamwork out there. Lori's going to be also in charge of the vans while I am going to be in charge of the other parts of the code enforcement. That being said, I guess we can go with the zoning issues for the adult care center facilities to how to identify them and the problems that we think we're having and how we're going to outline the process.
Okay.
Okay.
That's first up.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. I think that the biggest issue that we're, I think that we have is having access to the properties. We get the complaint, we go out to the properties. A lot of times we don't have access, so it's a little harder for us to determine if they have the proper paperwork or if they're actually legally supposed to be doing the group homes. For example, we got one at 2701 South Black Moon. They called it in for a legal group home. Took us a while to get into the property to get access. Finally, my inspector got access through the manager. We ended up finding out that it wasn't just a regular group home where they needed a CFO. It turned out to be a what they call a DDH, a development disability of health. They're totally different from a group home. So it's harder for us to enforce something like that because I believe the DDH is enforced by the state. So their requirements are for any kind of disability, they can have up to four people. And the state actually has them get an inspection with the fire department and they issue them a special, it's like a placard of giving them the permission, a health permit, a fire inspection, and it's called DDH on it. If they got that, we can't enforce it. They supersede the city code. The only way we can enforce it would be if for some reason they have more than four people, then we can recommend, we can advise them they need to get a CFO for that. And that's the way we can enforce that. But DDH, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What is a CFO?
The CFO, the certificate of occupancy, they don't need one of those if they have that DDH CFO. And the, yeah, and if they fall under the four or less people that are in there, there's nothing much that we can do. So after all that process of trying to get in, going back and forth, a lot of times that's what we run into, that it's a DDH. So we don't really have nothing to do with that.
What about the ones with the elderly?
Yes, with the elderly is also another one where they have to have the certificate of occupancy. They have to meet the whatever the CFO demands of, how many people they can have on the property. That's the other situation where we have to get access. We have to count how many people are there. If they're if they have medication, if they have to be administered any medication, there's a lot of things that we have to investigate. There's multiple group homes where I could be with you all day on the restrictions. The other one is like the sober homes.
Yes.
The sober homes are those. Yeah, those are a little different. They can have up to two people per room, no more than 10. And they do have to follow under the CFO. They have to have a certificate of occupancy. They got to have their permits. They got to have all their inspections. And that's what we'll enforce. If for some reason they have more than 10, we can advise them, you know, this needs to be cut down to a minimum of 10. No more than 10. And no more than two per room. And then they have to have the posted CFO on the property. And then we advise them, we educate them. And a lot of times, like I was saying on that DDH, they'll go have six of them. And what we do, we educate them, we tell them you can't have more than four. they remove the other two and they comply, but who's to say what they do after we leave? It's almost impossible for us to keep going back and forth. So those are the difficulties that we have on staying on top of them. We just don't got the manpower to just keep going every day and checking on them. So I feel that that's one of the biggest issues, is having to make sure that they comply once we enforce the code.
And neighborhoods aren't notified when these homes go in. So we usually find out about it if something goes wrong or there's big problems.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So when you say you're refused entry, so tell me a story of how that works. So you're an inspector and you open the gate and you go inside and then you knock on the door. What happens then?
What can happen is either the tenant says, okay, come on in, which is most of the time not what happens. The managements are smarter nowadays. They're pretty savvy. They tell the tenants, don't let them in until I'm here or until I give them permission. So they'll deny us entry. What we do as an inspector, we tell them we're going to have to eventually come into the property and check and see if you're following all the requirements for the group home. And if you don't contact us, we can use the saying, if you don't contact us, we're just going to do a citation. We're going to see you in court. And then you got to prove to us that you're following all the procedures. The problem with that is that with the courts and everything, it could be 6 months before we get into the property. Yeah. But a lot of times they'll let us in, you know, they'll say, come on in, because they think they're following the protocol. And once we get there, we take advantage of that and we take pictures, we count, we make sure everything's posted on the property. And that's when we roll with it. But the actual getting in the property, that's something that we got to respect them. They got the right to refuse us entry. So we got to follow other process, which take, like I said, going to the courts takes a while before we can get in there.
Does the health department get involved for any of this?
Like the health department would be more like for, like I was saying, the DDH ones. They have to issue them all that stuff.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah. Ours is more the certificate of occupancy and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
Martin, you said something about they have to have some information posted. What kind of information is to be posted at these facilities?
The certificate of occupancy is one where they have to get, they got to post it where we can see it when we do an inspection. It describes everything, what they're allowed to be doing with this group home.
So it's in a public place where they can actually see it when they walk in, or
because I'm wondering
if somebody who has a family member at one of these facilities, if it's something that they can see that's posted, that's obviously posted, and it lets them know what the requirements are.
You mean like posted on the actual property itself?
Yeah, is that something that's supposed to be so it's visible for anybody can see? Walk into a store or a certain place, and you know you can only have so many people living there.
Yes, they do. But a lot of people, they'll keep them in the shelves. They'll keep them in the kitchen, and we have to advise them. This needs to be posted where we can see it. It can't be in
the... Exactly, okay.
Yes, yes. Yes, sir.
Don't call me sir.
Call me friend.
A lot of things, but don't call me sir.
Having been working with some of these institutions especially for elderly people and people with dementia, the other thing I was thinking about was the Pima Council on Aging has a program of ombudsmen who are people who are trained by the state. They're actually report to the Attorney General's office, and to go around and to talk to the people who are there or to family members of people who are there and see how things are going, if people are being well treated, any problems and so forth. Have you ever contacted them and asked them to help you with this problem, with this entry and meeting the standards?
That's one of the things that we do. We can contact adult services, protective services. we try to do our due diligence to try to get into the property. But the problem with that, we have to build up a lot of information in order for us to get a court order from the judge. He has to be completely satisfied that we're not invading their privacy. So it's really up to the courts after we generate. We talk to adult services, protective services. We talk to all these departments. We got to document everything and then take it to the judge and see what he says. And the problem with that, a lot of times, it's just lack of education. They don't know that they needed to do this and do that. So, yeah, we do work with them too.
And when you talked, the other thing that triggered my mind was that you talked about the tenants. So mm-hmm. is the problem that most of these homes are not owner-run, or an owner will have three or four of these homes and then we'll have simply the aides there most of the time?
Yeah, they're actually owned, but the owners a lot of the times are not around, or they don't want to be seen out there. So they'll tell the tenants, the people that are staying there, not to allow us to come into the property. And like I said, it's rare. A lot of times they'll just let us in the property. But when that happens, I believe that they're just getting savvy out there, and they know that if they refuse us entry, that we can't force our way in without a warrant. So they know how the system is run. Mm. Okay. Do our due diligence, we get in.
Yeah,
majority of the time.
What percentage would you say you don't get in? 5%, 10%, 1%?
I would say that we get into, I would say 95% of the time we get into the property. The only, like I was saying, the ones that give us a hard time is because we got to follow the protocol and get the warrants and talk to the judge. That lengthens the time, but we eventually get in. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think that frustrates the neighbors. They think we're not doing our job correctly, but it's not that we're not doing our job. It's that we have to cross every T and dot every I before we invade the privacy of a person. They got the same rights that we all do. So we got to follow the protocol. So it takes us a little longer on those, but overall, we eventually get in there.
And that includes the juvenile delinquent.
Yes.
Homes. Yeah, we have those. So there's a lot of police calls for them.
Yes. Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have any questions other than that, or some other questions, feel free to email me and I'll try to get all the information I can for you guys. Obviously, there's more than just the sober group homes, the adult group homes. There's the DDH group. There's so many now. In fact, me and Laura were talking about even setting up a meeting with development services and get caught up with all the group homes so we can start researching them and starting to get ahead of ourselves and start getting prepared for them.
So
how do we know in our neighborhoods, how do we know when a group home is being they're engaging in that kind of activity? Because somebody buys a house and you don't know who's bought the house and who's moving in, and if there's
you can do parcel searches, Fred. You can see who owns the property. But a lot of times they're hiding behind LLCs.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we have, you know, houses that we know that there has to be group homes in there because there's, you know, a lot of activity there, but there's some that we can't really tell.
And they don't have to notify us.
It's very difficult. I mean, we've had a couple in our place. One is that they were owned by the Blake Foundation, so that's a tip off right there.
Yeah,
that's
a big one, I think.
And the other one, and the problem was that the people kept leaving the property even though they weren't supposed to, and vandalizing the houses on both sides, and just constant issues. So it's, and you know, the police don't always come, so there's I don't know how many it was allowed for. We never followed up on this. I didn't even think of calling the code enforcement people to come and look.
If you guys got some concerns and there's an address or something, feel free to email and I'll try to get the information for you as soon as I can, or maybe bring it up at the next meeting and let you know what's going on with that property. And I'll be more than happy to try to assist how I can.
But why is it that they you can just purchase a property, then establish a facility like that without informing the neighbors.
A good question. Very good question.
I would think that you would have to show some sort of
That's why they don't go to HOAs.
You know? I don't think you live in one. So. No, but I would think that it would be a sign of respect to the neighborhood that you would be doing this sort of thing. You'd be running this operation within the confines of your own neighborhood.
It's supposed to be confidential. We're not supposed to.
We're not, but it's supposed to be confidential to the people who are going in there. But the fact is right. that they're just coming into the neighborhoods without telling anybody, and all of a sudden you've got a whole lot of people there that weren't there before.
Yeah, it's true. I see what you're saying, but she's correct. They have that privacy where they don't have to really tell us what they're doing. As long as they follow the permits and the certificate of occupancy and they get okay with development services, they let them in.
And I do want to say that the Beacon Foundation has been down the street from my house since I bought it in 72, and they've never been a problem. So it's a good group.
Beacon's a very good group.
Yeah.
I've been involved. My mother worked for a long time with people with mental illness and developed a lot of housing units for them. And she always went through a neighborhood meeting first in order to tell people what was happening and who these folks were and how to work with them. I think that's partly is that a lot of us are not used to working with or interacting with people with serious mental illness or people who are developmentally disabled and have other issues and so forth.
That's so true. It is.
These are money makers.
It's like a revenue.
There. So.
It's a big revenue. Yes, it is.
Yeah, money makers. So.
But like I said.
Well, we probably should move on and let you get to some other. Let's see. We have the fiscal year 24 code case review.
Yeah, this is going to be quick. I got some junk motor vehicles and just some numbers real quick, so it won't take long.
Oh, good. We need this. Yeah. No, I know. I follow this.
Yeah. The junk motor vehicles that we refer over to TPD and the CSOs, from January to August, we had 293 that we referred over to them. And they're the ones that just do just the junk motor vehicles. They don't do the weeds or nothing. So that would be that one. And then for active cases from January to the 30th, August 30th, the active ones are the ones that are, they've already issued their notice, their citation, they're waiting for compliance. That one would be 140 total, roughly, on the active.
That's just 2024.
Yes, that's just January to August.
Jose, there's still lots of active cases that go back to 2023.
What was the question? Was that for me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Martin, sorry.
Okay, I was wondering. I
didn't mean to do that to you, Jose. No, Martin, you know, the big problem that we're having in our neighborhoods is there's a lot of stuff that has been ignored when the new computer system came in. So we have active cases that are over a year closed.
Let me look into them, and that could be it, that they're just active. There's a short active, and they haven't closed them yet. Let me do some research and find out on that. All I got for now is from January to August.
Okay, but I'm just going to say that we have problem properties that haven't been reinspected and stuff, so it's been a real problem. I'm just giving you a heads up. I usually nag at Lori about this stuff. So
not a problem. Not a problem.
Okay. I'll add that 140 number is just JMVs on cases that we do, you know, because they're separate. We he gave a number for 2024 that we refer to TPD. So those we call the single issue JMVs, but we still do JMVs in the context of all, you know, multiple things, like someone reports refuse, storage, mm-hmm. and JMVs.
Yeah, there are multiple.
So that second number is kind of reflecting that, because it's really hard to pull that data out of InterGov. You know, it just says property maintenance.
Okay.
So, and it's not all our cases.
Oh no, right. Definitely not all the cases.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No problem. That's fine. The received status again from January 30th on the weeds. We have 69 in received status. Received status is we're still getting ready to issue them out to the inspectors. Of course, you know about our low manpower right now. So we're trying to get swamped and get those weeds out as fast as possible. That'll be 69. And then we also
how many got people are you low?
All of them, 20 if you want to say numbers, but in reality, we got 10 inspectors and 2 went to Lori to do the vans.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I was gonna that was one of the other
things you'll tell us that. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that was the other thing we'll talk about. And then we also got the ones that have been resolved and just closed already from January to August. Would be 173 that we figured were already closed.
That's still weed violations?
Yes, we're still on the weeds, huh? Yes, sir. Oops, I called you sir again.
So they're closed but not resolved? So people haven't cut the weeds and you just aren't going to do anything?
No, I got closed, resolved.
Closed, resolved.
Okay.
Yeah, those were resolved, 173.
Okay.
And those were those mostly from the letters, the weed letters?
No, those were for the inspections that we done.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And then the last one will be the unfounded ones, the ones where they call it in, we go do an inspection, and either it got cleaned already or there's nothing there. From January, August 30th, we counted about 115 of those that we did inspections and there was no violation.
Right.
So that was easy and quick.
Yeah.
I noticed that some of the alleys that we were looking at earlier in the meeting, some of those alleys had a lot of weeds in them. It's, you know, they were showing the brush and bulky going through some of those alleys, and some of those weeds are pretty high.
And yeah. we're also in the monsoon season, so yeah, they're pretty bad right now with the monsoon and everything.
Wow.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. We are running with our heads cut off trying to catch up to them.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
The last thing is going to be the vans.
What about the recruitment update?
Well, let's finish. He's going to finish with the,
Yeah, the vans will be the last one. Lori's mainly the one that does vans. I ended up just helping her on a couple of things, but Lori is the main person. So if you have any questions on vans, she's going to be the one in charge of all the vans projects. I believe they're still working with the business service towards completing a lien database. I believe Lori was advising me that they're still working on that. And there are also a few foreclosures that are going to be moving towards being submitted to the city attorney for that. We're also starting to take, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Lori, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So when I sent in a complaint, I went online. I did it for 1204 North Alvernon, you know, our empty Speedy Mart. And I put on mine what I sent in. I said vacant and neglected property, weeds, trash, homeless. And when it got listed, all they said was multiple weeds and trash.
Right. So, and then sometimes that can happen because what we're looking for in vans is we got to get a police report basically for 12 months, see what kind of activity, you know, and it's kind of a judgment call, you know.
Well, we've had a lot of problems at that site. I can get one from our CSO. That's what I do when I go to liquor licenses.
I'll look that one up, and I'll have one of the van's inspectors take a look at it and then ask TPD for a 12-month report and see if it matches the criteria we have.
It's been vacant for a couple years.
Okay. We'll take a look at it.
Okay. All right. I'll stop. Go ahead.
Martin. And we are starting the referrals for new cases already for the new process. And the last thing would be I'm also working with Lori with my inspectors to come up with old cases that we had. If they feel that there should be like an advanced project, we'll refer them over to Lori, and Lori will have her inspectors go double check and make sure those may fall under the vans also. So we're working together and trying to get all this process all taken care of.
So if I know of some properties that still haven't had a follow-up and they're still in violation, can I just send them to you?
If you feel that you think they might be in advance, I don't see why not.
Well, and other violations as well too.
Oh yeah, yes.
Of course. Like permits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Great.
Okay, and the last thing is obviously the recruitment that we were talking about. Well, we're almost done with that. HR has done their part already. We're looking at hopefully getting 5 more inspectors. We're figuring maybe mid-October we should have our guys and gals with us, if they accept the position, of course. If all 5 of them accept it, then we should be up to about 13, I believe, minus the 2 that went to vans. Those will replace the 2 retirement and replace the 2 that went to Vance.
We just can't seem to get over 13.
When we first started
working with problems with code enforcement, it was Teresa, and they had 25. And
I was there when there was 25 of them. Yes.
Yeah, and so code enforcement has been gutted, and it's not important to the city. You know, these days you have to live in an HOA.
So. Yeah, I wish we had at least 15. 13, I think, is still a little low. But if we get to 15, I think
we're supposed to have 15. But that's a low ball number. And I'm hoping that with our new city manager, we'll be able to get past that. So
well, may the Lord hear you on that one, because we need it.
Well, we've been hearing this story now for years, you know.
And all we're doing is replacing them. We're not adding nothing.
I know, it's just cancels. So
how hard is it to recruit new people? Is it a recruitment issue? You can't find anybody to apply for the jobs?
It has a lot to do with the qualifications. Having the budget money to replace them, it has a lot of things, according to them, put it that way.
But well, and then they take the CSOs that flunked being a CSO and turn them into junior inspectors and pay them less than a regular inspector. So that's just been what's been going on and on and on. So,
but all we can do is keep trying and keep moving forward with what we got. And hopefully those numbers start getting better as we go.
Yeah.
Well, but that's everything that I got. Thank you.
And we appreciate your work. I'm not getting on your case. I know who the problems are and why the city is stuck this way. And I know Lori knows that I've championed code enforcement for a long time and the people that do the work. So. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll keep tugging along. We'll train.
Right.
Thanks, Martin.
Okay. Thanks so much. Okay. Item 6, future agenda. Anybody have something else to add?
We didn't get anything from the landfill this time. Are we going to get some next time? Landfill update. I noticed that Frank was on for a while.
Right.
I just actually, Carlos is not going to be at full ESAC this month, so that Frank will be filling in for Carlos at full ESAC. So all Frank's items were put for good. Full ESAC. So
good, because we've asked that that some of the information that we go over in the subcommittee be brought to full ESAC, because I know there's other people that are really interested in what's going on. So that'll be good. That'll be great.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to make him suffer through 2 weeks worth of ESAC. I'm just,
and he's done a great job all these years of putting up with us. So
right. So next week we'll get all the landfill reports, and he'll be running the meeting.
Okay. Good. Okay. Anything else?
I don't have anything.
You make sure those U of A kids behave.
You got lots of cardboard.
If I could do that, I would sell that to every university in the country and wouldn't have to work here.
Just tell them that the red solar cups, solo cups, can be recycled.
If they're empty,
yeah.
Okay. You were talking about the compost cats having a new contract. What's happening with that?
We are waiting on Carlos to get back from vacation to finalize the final draft of our intergovernmental agreement. So now that he is back, hopefully we'll hear back from him later this week or early next week. Then we got to go through the whole...
And then it goes through mayor and council.
Once we're on the same page, we should be able to hopefully start integrating our programs sooner than later.
That'd be great.
Should that be on the agenda for next time?
Yeah, maybe. We don't know if it's how far along it is. I do watch the study session agendas and stuff like that. So
shouldn't it come to us before it goes to the council?
Usually I find that this a lot of this stuff out from the agenda. So
it doesn't necessarily always go to ESAC, and yeah. The IGA for the compost cats never used to go to ESAC beforehand.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's true. I think I've seen them before.
Possibly, but the IGA used to be just a normal reoccurring item that just went for renewal.
But we're not going to have any changes?
Well, this time around there is, and this time around it is scheduled for full ESAC.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because U of A is making changes, so... All right. Sounds good. I'm seeing loads of compost that different board offices, and it sure looks pretty. So that's good. It's good news. All right. Let's no call to audience item 7 and item 8. We're just a little bit over, but it was a great meeting. I love the pictures of the trucks. So anyhow, take care, you guys. We'll see you soon next week.
Yes.
Next week.
Thanks. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks.
Good one.
Meeting adjourned.